Hello everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Bree.
And this is CSI Talk. Everyone, welcome back. Another regular episode of CSI Talk. Hi. Before we get into today's episode, just want to let y'all know that this is a safe space. Okay? You can come here whenever you want just to hear us talk about CSI. Either CSI Vegas or CSI Crime Scene Investigation, which we'll be talking about next week. But
we do have a special announcement to make today.
It's not kind of a special announcement. It's kind of like more to clarify some misconceptions about hiatus, what they are, and why do they exist. So, Brie, what are hiatus?
So, a hiatus is when the show takes off a couple weeks from showing, and every show does this, especially in the States.
If you don't live in the States and you watch TV shows from there on your cable, you know that sometimes there is a break between episodes here, and then they start showing old episodes. That's exactly it, but the thing is, CBS doesn't air previous episodes of CSI Vegas when there's a hiatus. They have other things to put on during that time. And it does not mean that the audience is low on CSI Vegas. It's actually quite the contrary, actually. We're beating Grey's Anatomy, as we said a couple weeks. We're there, guys. We're there. Like, and that's saying something, because CSI is actually like one of the great titans of TV all across the globe. And to be able to beat Grey's Anatomy, they're like, both of these shows, they actually started kind of...
No, Grey's started... They, like, 5 years
ago. Yeah, Grey's Anatomy started, like, 2005. CSI Crime Scene Investigation started in 2000s. Yeah, but... Yeah, so... There's actually nothing to worry about. This, they're kind of normal. It's because, like, I feel like most of us right now, we are used to binge watching any TV show that we want on Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, Apple TV. But that's not actually how it works on actual TV. You know, it's one episode per week. Sometimes we have 2 weeks without an episode, sometimes 1 month without an episode, but that's just how it rolls.
And speaking about 2 weeks without an episode, we do have a 2 week hiatus coming up next month. That'll be March 16th and March 23rd. Also, the next following day on the Fridays and also the Sundays, because there will be this thing called March Madness here in the States. It is when it is a college basketball tournament that does last for a couple of weeks. It's every year without fail, because it does bring in a lot of revenue for CBS.
Yes, yeah, so we'll be going off without CSI for 2 weeks. And we were left with a major cliffhanger.
Well, but we have a new episode on the 2nd of March, so...
Yeah, we're going to have a new episode on 2nd of March, and we're going to know exactly what is going on, what is happening. Hopefully, a CSI named Greg Sanders might show up. Hopefully. But, yeah, so before we begin, actually, if you're here flipping pages, this is my notebook that I made notes on it. We have this segment on our show called This Week on CSI History. On CSI History. And on this week, we had a few episodes, so let's begin. On season one, episode 14 to have and to hold. Season 3, episode 15, Lady's Editor's Box. Who remembers about this episode? I do. I love that episode.
It's one of these episodes.
It's one of the best episodes, actually. Season 4, episode 14, Paper or Plastic. Season 5, episode 15, King Baby. I'm sorry, just because Brie was telling me the name, I was like, what did you say? And she just made up a king, and I was like, I don't think that's a king.
You can mention North of Third. Let's make a look at them.
I don't think there's a king, and there was a queen. Well, whatever. So, season 7, episode 16, Monster in the Box. Monster in the Box, hello. We love that episode. Here on this podcast, we love season 7 of CSI Crimes Investigation. Okay, it's, to me, it's something that is one of the most, you know, beautiful and well-written mysteries on the history of TV. Okay, and I love season 7 CSI Crimes Investigation. I think it's something that should be taught on film and television school, whatever people go to school, maybe cinema, I don't know. So they should actually, you know, teach them about season 7 of CSI Crimes Investigation. Season 9, episode 13, Deep Fried and Minty Fresh. Season 11, episode 15, Targets of Obsessions. Season 12, episode 14, Seeing Red. That was actually the very first episode of a CSI that we love. CSI Finley, Joel Finley. We loved her and I wish she was in bed. And I dare to say she was what the show needed the most at that time because I loved that woman. I would do anything for her.
Well, I also love Ted Danson.
I love him too. Ted Danson, if you're listening to this, I love you. You're my CSI king. He used to be Greg, but it's not Greg anymore because you all know why. If you've been here before, you all know why. He's from my
And also,
friend.
You know, Ted Danson's family is very talented. His daughter is just like episodes.
Season 13, episode 14, Exile, like the song from Taylor Swift Upon the Earth. Great song, by the way. Was on the season finale of season 3 of the series U. Well put together. And in season 15, we actually have two episodes from season 15. Actually, episode 18, Under My Skin, and The Endgame as an episode, not as the movie Endgame. Okay, so right now, let's talk about episode 14 of season 2 of CSI Vegas. Third Time's the Charm. The episode we're going to talk about next week, we were watching this episode last night, and we were like, this reminded me of that in one particular episode. Yeah, we're going to talk about, if you know what episode we're talking about. We're going to be breaking down that episode next week, but let's go. Yep. So season 2, episode 14, Third Time's the Charm. The episode begins with the victim, Mike Weber. He is dying and he calls 911. And actually, then he falls to the ground after he stepped on water. And if you actually pay attention to the song that plays over it, it kind of begins with electrocution sounds, kind of. If you actually pay attention to it, I pay attention. That's why you guys are listening to a breakdown, because we are paying attention and finding out the little details that happens on the episode. So, yeah.
Well,
if you listen closely, if you listen closely, you're going to hear what sounds like electrocution noise. But, I mean, since the music's playing, we're not quite sure if the electrocution noise is from the music or is from the victim. Later, we'll find out that it was actually from the victim, not from the music. And Josh and Chris, they show up and Chris is whining about how he is working too much because
he's doing his third double in a week.
Yeah. I mean, CSIs do sometimes they have to work double, triple, not because of overtime, but because there's too many cases going on. And they're short of a CSI. I mean, we do have my girl Penny, but she wasn't on this week's episode. She was mentioned. Josh name dropped her, but she never showed up on it. So Josh doesn't say blood. You know, the victim was stabbed, and there was supposed to be blood if you're stabbed. Especially on your chest area, there should have been blood, but there's not a drop of blood. So, from the body, at least. Ellie calls them, and she is going to pick up Dr. Arabek. I finally learned how to spell her name. In her house, and Serena's like, we're in the middle of a case, we can go. And Ellie's like, Max told me to go after her as soon as she came back from her trip, so I'm going. So Serena decides to follow her, while Josh and Chris, they're left with the body, so they're going to be working this case of the week, while Josh is going to take the lead on the case, while Max supervises both of his case and the Silver Ink killer, right? They're calling him that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we have an actual new Emmy on this episode, a medical examiner, Dr. Hudson. And it's pretty funny because on this episode, we don't really know what was the cause of death until the very end of the episode.
Okay, Happy Morales?
Yeah, it reminded me of that too.
Tangled.
Dr. Hudson, he says that the victim's stomach was weighing 14 pounds. But later, he would actually clarify that the victim's stomach was actually weighing 17 pounds, not 14. That's a lot of food for someone to eat. And Serena is not bringing back up with her to with Allie.
Well, and she called for backup. Backup was on its way when she arrived.
Yeah, so, I mean,
and they thought they better need to come quickly.
Why?
Maybe because, oh, she's just a woman. She's just a person of interest. Nothing bad can happen.
But Serena tells Allie that they actually need something concrete to bring her in, which, I mean, fair enough. They actually do need something concrete to bring the good doctor in. So, back at the scene, Josh realizes that there is drop of blood that fell from the victim and from the murder weapon, actually. And they follow it, he and Chris, they follow it into a dumpster. And Chris is like, you're the one getting this dumpster dive, not me. I've already had mine this week. And just like, oh, I totally would. But Penny just texted me, told me where the victim came from. So your turn. Actually, Josh is a senior CSI here, so I think Chris is level 2. And Chris is level 2, Josh is level 3, and maybe Allie's level 3 too, is level 3 as well, because she did take the test.
She was preparing to take the test.
She was preparing to take the test, but Josh is the senior CSI, so if Josh wanted to, Chris had to take the dumpster dive. And Chris eventually does do it.
He gets a text from Penny.
Yeah, but I mean, when Chris said Bo should be the one doing this, technically Bo should, because Bo is level 1. So
Bo's not doing field work.
Bo is not doing field work anymore. So Chris does find a murder weapon on the trash while Josh is going to talk to the competition presenter. And he finds out that the victim was there with his wife on the previous night. Serena calls Josh her man when she finds him. And the first thing he asks her is about Ellie. Not, yes, that's right, I'm your man, not, oh, I love you. I love you, Nazir. No, how's Allie? My boy. You're really falling for her, aren't you?
He's already falling for her.
He's already falling for her. He's actually fooling himself.
He's lying to himself.
Look, I love Serena. I do. And I really love the fact that there is no competition between her and Allie. But it's just, okay, so Next, Josh and Serena, they go and talk to his wife, to the victim's wife, and they learn that he was actually doing that. Okay, so they find out, Josh and Serena, they find out from the victim's wife that the victim was doing this professionally as an athlete, but the wife didn't really like the fact that he was doing that professionally. You know, we learned that he was depressed, he wasn't going out. He was just going to these competitions and he was eating. We saw something like this before in the CSI crime scene investigation. So Josh goes to check up on Bo, and Bo is like, I'm going to stay in the lab. Okay, I know you guys. He says something along the lines of, I'm going to stay in the lab. This is my decision. This is final. And Josh is like, Chris said something, didn't he? I get it that Chris is annoyed. But
just let Bo be. He's dealing with something.
Leave my boy Bo alone, okay? Leave him alone, okay? He went to the field and he had this really hard time on this case involving this kid, okay? So let him get over it first, okay? Cases with kids are harder.
Those with kids.
Those who have kids themselves, okay? Catherine, multiple times when the cases involved sex workers, because she was one, she would have this more emotional response. When cases involved kids, she would have this more emotional response. That episode that actually involves a printer, when that baby died, Grissom was, you know,
to have and to hold.
Yeah, to have and to hold. My man, Grissom, he was really pissed off at everyone. He was throwing daggers at everyone verbally. Love that Sarah didn't take the crap, but whatever. So Josh and Bo, they are able to match the knife that Chris found. And they find out that this guy, Calvin, actually, he was actually the one who had stabbed the victim. And Max and Josh, they are getting a confession from this guy that stabs him. They stab the victim, and then an officer goes to interrupts everything. He's like, Ruby, Drug needs to talk to you. Catch your phone. And Max is like, not like I'm doing anything important here. And then when she texts the message, she's like, yeah, hold that thought. Officer, keep an eye on him. We have to go. And when they get to the morgue, Dr. Hudson says that the food that the victim ate, pounds of food, actually protected him from the stabbing. Because there is this aorta on your stomach. And actually the food that the victim ate protected the aorta from getting hit. And he didn't die from the stabbing. So he needed to do more tests. Though there was a discoloration on the big toe, a wound on the victim's knees, and a wound over the victim's hands. But none of them were fatal. So Max tells Dr. Hudson that their prime suspect actually said that the victim was, his skin was really red. Dr. Hudson performs a test and he realizes that the victim was actually poisoned. And if you know anything about crime statistics, or if you watch Criminal Minds, poison is typically a female's choice of weapon when...
Notice it's emperor and die.
It's not as violent. And I do have an answer for that, but it's just really long and it has nothing to do with it. They said that it was poison. It was like, there's only two women relevant to this case. It could be either the enemy fighter that won the contest the victim was competing in, or the victim's wife. But Dr. Hudson still had to perform more tests to know when the victim ingested the poison. But obviously, they first have to test the food that the victim ate, or the food that it was consumed in the contest. So Josh brings Bo a lot of bags with food. And my boy, Bo, he goes through every one of them. And he couldn't find it. The poison is actually icky mushrooms. And Dr. Hudson said there hasn't been any report of anyone dying from that poison. So Dr. Hudson actually realized it was the mix between the icky mushrooms and the alcohol that the contestants were forced to consume that created this inside the victim's body, which eventually contributed to his death. But it wasn't what killed him. They actually found out it wasn't what killed him later. So my boy, Bo, he finds out that actually the contestant Rita, the MMA fighter, she ate less than the other candidates. And then Serena and Josh, they go and talk to the presenter, who was the one that actually oversaw the food being made. And they came to the conclusion that this man had actually ordered the cooks to make Rita's food smaller than the other contestants. That's actually what gave her a big advantage on that contest. But eventually, that was not what killed the guy either. So,
Ellie gets a bunch of printers and ink. Max asks, how much are we spending? She says, not much. And that's actually pretty full.
Yeah, that was actually before. Because they need a warrant to get inside the Dr. Arbeck's house. That's why they're getting a lot of printers and printing it. And they eventually do find the one that Dr. Arbeck bought, because the doctor bought a new printer. So they proved that only her printer could have done that specific silver ink marking that they were looking for. It's like a fingerprint. So every printer has its own fingerprint, essentially. So they actually had to prove that the same make and model that Dr. Abrach had was the one that actually printed the notes that they had. And they were able to prove that, and the judge granted them warrant.
Yes. So Serena searched the full bloody house.
Okay, so they go there, and Serena, my girl, I love you. I do. But why didn't you clear the house before letting Ellie get in? Jesus. Well, and then Serena actually is like, screw that, we're going in. The warrant covers everything, so she breaks the glass on the door. They get in. She doesn't properly clear the house. And then Ellie walks into the doctor's office. Just then, she realized that they were not alone. Whoever was in the house killed the power and then fled. I mean, I'm pretty glad that the person who was there didn't engage in any fighting or any of that.
Exactly.
So, all hands on deck. Max declared that it's all hands on deck. She contacted the feds. Max was on the phone with probably 100 different people telling them, this is a suspect on the serial killing investigation that we're making. We need to look into her background. All hands on deck. And
Josh arrives first, text on Serena. And while Max is talking to Ellie, this is something that's pop culture for mostly Americans. So Max touches her nose a couple of times, which reminds me of when Carol Burnett used to tuck her ear as to say hello to her grandmother, Mabel.
Yeah, and I realized something. It might just have been a coincidence, but on the beginning of the episode, Josh tells the victim's wife to not worry about what she could have done. And basically, essentially, Max tells Ellie the same thing. So Ellie, she actually finds a book on the Voynich manuscripts. And honestly, I should have looked at it. I should have noticed that, because I did look into the Voynich manuscripts as well. But some of the writing on the Voynich manuscripts, which we talked about a few weeks ago, I think it was like a month ago or a month and a half ago, I don't know, when the Finnish manuscripts was first brought up on the show. If you can recall, it's a manuscript that was written on the Middle Ages in code that no one can break it until this day. No one knows what it's about. It has a lot of beautiful paintings on the book, but Dr. Auerbach, she had a book on the Finnish manuscript, and Ellie realizes that some of the writing resembles what they have in the cards. So Ellie goes to the basement where Josh is, and Josh has their own, like, this mud temple. Essentially, that mud temple would take them to the location in which Dr. Auerbach was. So, Josh comes back to the lab, and Dr. Hudson realizes that the victim ate the mushrooms in the morning that he died. So, the wife was the one that actually did that. You know, she made him a smoothie, and she put some of the icky mushrooms on the smoothies, and she was...
A protein smoothie.
She actually admits to killing her husband. So, they're getting a confession. But Josh, he's like, that doesn't seem right. Like, this is not what happened. So he goes to the morgue and he's like, okay, let's test. I have a hypothesis. If the mix between icky mushrooms and alcohol didn't kill the victim, it's not gonna kill me. So Josh decides to eat the icky mushrooms and drink. He was drinking scotch, right? He was not drinking beer. So Josh ate all the icky mushrooms that Dr. Hudson had brought with him for references. And he ate the mushroom. And he
got cross-baited.
He was on the treatment. And then he drank the scotch. And he ate and he drank the icky mushrooms and the alcohol. It didn't kill him. It made him very drunk. And it's very funny to see Josh drunk. I think he is a funny drunk. So Dr. Hudson is actually with Josh. And he is measuring Josh's blood pressure. And they realized that the victim wasn't killed because of it. Because of the mix between alcohol and the icky mushrooms. So Josh starts kind of like opening up his eyes like, were you proud of your father? And Dr. Hudson is like, extremely. And then Josh is like, well, I wasn't of mine. My mother fell in love with him. And she kept going with him because she said she saw something in him that just wasn't there. So I think we can infer from that comment that maybe Josh's mom was kind of lovable to him. But I think his father was the one that maybe could have abused him. Maybe physically, probably even, I think physically is a safe bet since in season Josh did say that he was kidnapped. So, physically, probably emotionally and psychologically, that's why he maybe Max is like a mother to him. And then he asked Dr. Hudson, why does everyone in the morgue hate him so much? And Dr. Hudson's like, I'm not here long enough to know.
But then he does exactly what we all know. It's because of his relationship, non-relationship with Ellie.
And everyone in the morgue likes Ellie. I think she did do a research. She did do a research on where places a body can decompose. So probably she knows a lot about that. She has a lot of common with Sonia and Jack Hugo. And she had a good relationship with the three of them so far, the three medical examiners that we've seen. And everybody loved her, and they didn't like the way that Josh treated her. God, it's just a little boring on this. Jesus. So, yeah. So Josh decides to go back to the crime scene with Dr. Hudson, and My boy, George, he has solved a murder drunk. Granted, it was the third time he was solving the murder, but that's why the episode is called Third Time's a Charm.
I guess that's why, I guess Mike really deserved it, because top six, Squish, Cicero, Lips, Shit. Sorry, I had to do Chicago reference.
So, they were talking, him and Dr. Hudson, and then he found a live wire that was contacting the water. And then Josh remembered that the victim's shoes was actually ripped. So when the victim fell to the ground, actually the hole on the shoe conducted electricity to the victim's heart and the victim died. Granted, it was low voltage. It was, but the victim was under a lot of stress. He had been poisoned. He had been stabbed. He had a 17 pounds of food. So, I mean, his body was under a lot of stress, and all it took was just a bit of voltage to kill him. And then Dr. Hudson re-examines the body, and he does find the victim's body cells. They were in the shape that indicated that the victim was indeed electrocuted. And can I just say something? I love Max on this episode. Her hair looks beautiful. Her wardrobe looks beautiful. I love her. Every time she comes up on my screen, I'm like, mother, you know, that's my mother. I love her. I love Max. Love her so much. I would do anything for Max. Honestly, I want a hug from Paula Newsom. If I ever meet her one day, I want a hug from her. Like, I want to hug her. And she's my mother. I love her. Okay, so
Josh invites the doctor for burgers, and then Dr. comments on Josh's tenacity because he saw the same murder three times. And then Mike's wife, Sheila, still may be charged with poisoning.
Yeah, it depends on the DA, but she's not going to go in for murder. And later,
Dr. Arabeca.
They find Dr. Arabeca in the house that
belongs to the mother,
but it was outside the house. And I think it's a safe bet to say that the killer is a man, because not to say that women are weaker, women are absolutely strong. But I mean, it takes a lot of work to put the body in that position.
To do a reverse hanging.
A reverse hanging, if you're into tarot cards, it's called the hangman card. And okay, look, I was on Twitter yesterday and last night after the episode, and someone suggested that the description of the hangman card could actually fit Bo's situation, because he feels stuck in his profession, all that. And I was like, no. That's not it, because my boy Bo, he is stuck in the lab for like a month now, because he had this hard case with a kid. This man doesn't have a bad bone inside his body. Do you think he'd be capable to mastermind all of that? And also, listen, I'm rewatching Teen Wolf, and I watched half of season three, and half of season three of Teen Wolf, there's a lot of sacrifices going on, you know. And I was watching a Teen Wolf episode, and the person who was committing the sacrifices, she said, essentially, sacrifice is necessary evil. And if you Google what the hangman card actually means on Google, it's going to give you stuck. It's going to give you stuck at a situation. Or it could mean a sacrifice. When I saw that, I was like, I think it is someone connected to Dr. Arabeca for sure. Because killing her might have been the killer's sacrifice. I think Dr. Mirabek, after Allie came to her and told her about everything, she connected the dots, but instead of calling Allie or calling Catherine or calling Max, and she's like, I have this patient that fits whatever you're doing, your profile or whatever. She probably went and confronted this man. I could have been a patient, an older patient or something like that. But whoever that was, it was someone close to Dr. Rebecca because the physician
is doing because he knew where the cabin was.
Yeah, he knew that. And look, we've seen the bodies in CSI being discovered. Every time, the name of the show is Crime Scene Investigation. So, some bodies really have to be in a very... And physicians that would be really frightening, but I actually had a jump scare when I saw the body. Because of the position of the body, essentially, is we've never seen this type of things on CS. And I get why Allie's frustrated because she was so sure there was Dr. Airbag, but I don't think it is. I told you guys a few weeks ago, I don't think she's the one, she's the killer, and she's going to die before Allie has the chance to talk to her. And that's exactly what happened. She died before any of them had the chance to talk to her. And that does not mean that they are back to square one, because now the killer made a mistake, because the killer, or harder naming him the Silver Ink Killer, he was killing this patients that underwent this treatment with the mirrors. But now he killed Dr. Airbag. And it wasn't a planned thing. He didn't send anyone to kill him. You know what? I think what the killer is doing is more or less like a social experiment. Because what his psychiatrist did to him when he was younger was an experiment. So I think he, in a very dangerous way, he is kind of repeating the same experiment. But now he killed Dr. Airbag, the one that could have helped him. He made a mistake, because we all learned this from CSI. When a serial killer makes mistakes, it's because they're close to catch him. So they're closing in because Dr. Airbag's murder was not planned.
Nope.
It was something random. But the message that he's saying with the position of the body is exactly that. It was a sacrifice that he had to make. It's not that he's feeling stuck. He's not feeling stuck. He has a Deadpool to go through, forcing people to kill each other. He could be implicated in all of these murders, but Dr. Airbag is the one that they can actually nail this guy. Because on the other murders, yes, he did send the dossiers. Yes, he did tell people to kill each other. But he was not the one that committed the killings, because he wasn't there. I don't want to play a devil's advocate here, but it doesn't matter if he didn't have an alibi for the night of the murders. Because he was... Essentially, he didn't do any crime. It's not a crime to give a dossier to someone. Unfortunately, it's not a crime to suggest that somebody kills another person. But he made a mistake when he killed the doctor, because...
Dr. Airbag,
because... I don't know if they're going to find any evidence on her, but if they do, they could pin him for the murder, because now he started to make a mistake. Sometimes I hate when my theories are right. Because now he's kind of telling the CSIs, the police, I know you are onto me and I am onto you too. Because I knew you were onto Dr. Arabek and I had to kill her to keep her quiet. And now the killer is going to study them, the investigators. And who is the lead investigator on this case? It's Ellie. So I think maybe Ellie is going to be one of the final victims, as I said before. And Josh is going to be the one to put everything together and save her in the end. His family might have something to do with it. I don't think it's a coincidence that his family was brought up right now. I mean, Sarah also had a very rough upbringing, but we didn't know much about her upbringing up until season 5. Why are they bringing up his upbringing right now?
Because they want to do more.
Okay. I'm just saying that it's kind of relevant to the storyline.
Yeah, because it's in the family a lot this season.
Yeah, the overall theme of this season is family, and the way Josh's friend almost kind of threatened Josh in the beginning of the season, and the way he spoke about Ellie. I mean, it could totally be that guy that just asked for fingerprints, you know. Could totally be him. Yeah, it could totally be him. And I know some people are like, oh, this is the hangman card. Could this be about tarot cards? I don't think so. Because we haven't seen anything that suggests that. I think that it's literally just to send a message to the CSIs. I don't think overall, all of the killings have anything to do with tarot cards. I mean, it could, but I don't think we've seen any type of tarot cards related stuff throughout this season, right? So, yeah, this is what I think, though. I don't know if this is anything. This is just a theory. But, okay, Brie, what are we talking about next week?
We'll talk about season 6. Episode, I can't remember the episode number right now, but it's Dog Eat Dog.
That also that episode that CSI Sanders, do you remember CSI Sanders? He got all different brands of food to see if the
hot
food
dog.
Would be found. Yeah, but it wasn't that. So yeah. By the way, CSI Sanders, when are you showing up?
Exactly.
I'm just wondering. Eric, dear, when are you showing up when back? I would love to know. So, thank you guys so much. Please, if you have any theories, ideas, anything, or if you want us to talk about something related to CSI, just email us, please. Email us at csitalkpodcast@gmail.com. Again, this is csitalkpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can just DM us on our social media and about what do you guys want us to talk about next. We love you guys so much. So please stay safe out there. Stay safe. Bye. Love you.
Bye-bye.